Good morning.
Morning.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see you all. Let's hear God's call to worship. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Our Father, we thank you for your word and for calling us together. But Father, when we measure ourselves against those words, we fall far short. And so we rejoice this morning in our Savior Jesus Christ, for he has met our deficiencies. More than that, he has supplied us with all that we need. He has kept the law for us because we cannot and will not. He has suffered the full penalty of the law. Because for us to do that would require an eternity in hell. Christ did these things for us. And so we have assembled together here that we might worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that the Spirit might work in us in such a way that while we'll not do it perfectly, that the words of this psalm will be, to some extent, fulfilled in each and every one of us. Because it's the work of the Spirit of God who accomplishes it. May our time together result in our growth in grace and the glorification of Jesus Christ. And this we ask of you in the name of him who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us
from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our Old Testament reading is also from the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, page 359 in the Pew Bible. Psalm 19, we'll read the whole psalm. Let's hear God's inerrant word. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Yahweh, my strength and my Redeemer. We turn from the Word of God to the Apostles' Creed, and let us confess the faith that God has revealed to us in his Word by means of this ancient summary. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
I
believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. The third day he rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And there he will come to judge the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our New Testament reading is found in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. In fact, let's just, for some context, let's back up to 21 through 25. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. May God bless the reading of his word. We spent the last 2 weeks looking at what did the word mean, at least in the context of James, and what does the word law mean, at least in the context of James, so that we can come to these paragraphs, or this paragraph, these verses, today. James gives another admonition, and that admonition is directed to Christians, and then he also gives a warning to the Christians. And in giving that warning, he describes, in essence, natural men, and then he describes those who have been regenerate and their relationship to the word. So he tells us in the first line of verse 22 to be doers of the word and not hearers only. It is important that we understand the distinction. James is not saying be a doer and not a hearer. No, he's saying be a doer and a hearer and not only a hearer. The particular word used for hearers is a word that was used in the ancient Greek world for those who would attend philosophical lectures but never actually join the school, never actually sit under the philosopher and be trained and to learn things. They would love to hear the lectures, but they weren't the least bit interested in following the disciplines of that particular school of wisdom. And so it certainly applies here. James is saying, don't be a bump on a log. Don't be someone who sits and, oh, that's really great stuff. I enjoyed that so much. And walk out with it making absolutely no difference in your life. Be a doer. Remember we pointed out that the word earlier in this chapter, in at least two verses, clearly means the gospel that saves us, the gospel that calls us, but then it expands into a broader meaning of the term so that it encompasses all the scriptures. And in encompassing all the scriptures, it also encompasses the things that we do, the law. It would be good for you to do this sometime in your Bible reading. When you read through Paul, usually the first part of his epistles are teaching. Now, there's never a part of Paul's writing where it's pure teaching and no doing. And then the latter part of his book is usually do this. But even in those areas where he's telling us to act a certain way, there's still some teaching intermingled. It's never pure doctrine and pure application, okay? There's always some application with the teaching, and there's always some teaching with the application in all of his letters. And that fits in with what James is saying. Don't just be a hearer. Don't be just someone who loves theology and loves to study theology and notice how beautiful it is and how logical it is and isn't this marvelous? And it has absolutely nothing to do with the way you live your life. Look at verse 22. be doers of the word and not hearers only. And then these next two words should put a chill up your spine. Deceiving yourselves. Deceiving ourselves how? Into thinking that we have salvation. Because we come to church and we sit and we hear somebody talk to us for half an hour. There's that little line about going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car. It's putting rubber to, where the rubber meets the road. And if we don't have any of that being interfaced into actually the way we live, then we are lying to ourselves. We are deceiving ourselves into thinking, well, I'm a believer, I'm going to get to go to heaven because I walked an aisle, prayed a prayer, got wet, and I actually went to church almost every Sunday. And therefore, I'm going to go to heaven. No. Where in the Bible does it tell us to walk an aisle? Where does it tell us? Are we supposed to be baptized? Yes, but walk an aisle, pray a prayer, get baptized. Where does it say that that's how a person becomes a Christian? Nowhere. The walking an aisle thing didn't start until the 1820s. Nobody had ever done that before. For more than 1,800 years, Christians had never done that, and all of a sudden Charles Finney started it. And now, if you don't offer an invitation, ask people to walk an aisle, some people think you're a liberal. I'm a liberal. Right. See, the warning here is it is very easy to lie to yourself. It is very easy to feel comfortable and to think that everything's hunky-dory and you're going to get to go to heaven. Church attendance does not get anyone in heaven. Getting baptized and being catechized and repeating those four vows that we took, or the five that are now there, that does not get you into heaven. Being a doer doesn't get you into heaven either. But being a doer means that you have received the word that is implanted. Look again at the text. Therefore, lay aside, this is verse 21, all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. And if it has been, because the very next verse is, but be doers and not hearers only. That word only is extremely important. There's nothing wrong with hearing the word. We need to. But someone who hears only is a problem. And if you are a hearer only, you're not going to be hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. Remember that story when Jesus tells that those on the left will be told, depart from me, I never knew you. But Lord, I did this and I did that. Doesn't that seem to contradict James? Well, it doesn't. Because in James, it's not doing that earns the salvation, it's doing that is proof of the salvation. Because you've received the implanted word, you now do the word. You don't do the word to get the word. You've got to get the word, the order right, as James puts it in his verse order. And then he describes the person who's a hearer. And then he describes the person who is a doer. So that in verse 23, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, notice the distinction. It's not that hearing is wrong. But when hearing is alone, there's something wrong. The person who hears and only hears is like a man who sees his natural face in a mirror. He immediately observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Then we have the man who looks into the perfect law of liberty, continues in it. So we have two things contrasted. There's the mirror, and then there's the law as a mirror. And there's the first person is a hearer only, and the second person is a hearer and a doer. So in the first person, the hearer only, the description really is of a natural man. of someone who has not been born again, but clearly, because he's hearing this, he's a person who's in church attendance. He's a person who assembles with the saints. He assembles with the saints on a regular basis. He hears the word of God and thinks it's wonderful. But what he doesn't see or doesn't stick is what kind of a person is he? See, it's not looking in the mirror in the sense of, oh, I got my part right. Or, oh, yep, yeah, I've got to clean my nose. Or, yeah, there's broccoli stuck right here. I got to get, no, it has nothing to do with that. It's like looking, because the parallel is the mirror and the word, or the law. It's looking into the mirror and seeing what I really am. And what I really am, and what all of us really are, is sinners. Made in the image of God and corrupted beyond repair. We're corrupted beyond repair because we need to be recreated. And we are recreated, new creatures in Christ Jesus. But this person who is a hearer only, he hears this, he sees that, yeah, I'm a sinner, and goes his or her merry way. It doesn't sink in. They'd never catch the significance of the fact that being a sinner means you're doomed to hell. But the person who is a hearer and a doer, we're told, is the person who looks into the perfect law of liberty, from the mirror to the law. And he, what? This is important. He continues in it. Not the person who looks in the mirror and then goes, but he looks and he remains there. It sinks in. And he's not a forgetful hearer. He doesn't hear what the law says about him and then go watch the Phillies play. Because that's much more important and much more interesting, frankly. Or goes out for a party, or whatever. He is a man or a woman who continues and doesn't therefore forget, but does what the word commands. He does believe in Jesus Christ. He does trust in Christ and Christ alone for his salvation. He does seek to walk with Christ. He does seek to put to death the old man. Because that's doing what the word has told us to do. Notice how he changes from doing the word to doing the work in verse 25. Did you catch that? James is preaching a kind of salvation by works if we're not very careful to understand him aright. Because the doer of the work is the doer who trusted in Jesus Christ and seeks Christ, seeks to put to death the old man, seeks to walk with Christ, seeks to grow in grace. He's got the prize that Paul wrote about in his fixed on his eyes. And he is doing what Paul has talked about, disciplining himself, buffeting his body, putting himself under discipline, putting himself under Christ and under those that Christ has put over him. Notice the end of verse 22 has a warning. Again, I said it should give you a chill. Have I deceived myself? And frankly, brothers and sisters, if you are not a brother or sister, if you are one of those who is a hearer only, oh God, I hope that you're hearing this and not walk away immediately forgetting what the word says about you. But for the person who looks into that perfect law of liberty and continues in it and does the work of faith and does the work of the works that God has called us to do, we're told what about this person? This one will be blessed in what he does. Remember what I said about reading the scriptures? And I don't know which editions you have, but you should probably see a cross-reference to Psalm 1. Let's just flip there. who's a doer, because he walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. But on contrast, he's a hearer. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And he's a doer because in his law he meditates day and night. And he'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water. I know when we've dealt with this before, I shared with you how, at least in Kansas, when we lived in Fort Scott, around the 4th of July, the southwest winds would come. And the grass, which was so green and soft, within a week became crunchy and brown. And usually in August, late August, the trees are turning yellow, not because of cold weather, but because they don't have any moisture, except for the trees that are planted or that grew up by ponds or by streams. They're still green. That's exactly what this verse is talking about. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water, it brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. What does James tell us with his New Testament wisdom book? It tells us we should not be merely a hearer, but a doer, and one who looks into the law of liberty and studies himself continuously in it, meditates in it day and night, Psalm 1 says. And he's not a forgetful hearer because he meditates in it day and night. He's a doer, and he'll be blessed in what he does. Since some of the doing is putting to death the old man, wow, what a blessing it would be to have that work blessed. Since being a doer means trying to grow in grace, work with the Holy Spirit that you may become more like Christ, then the blessing would be that you will achieve those things. And you're not a deceiver of yourself. We're really good at fooling ourselves. We're really good at lying to ourselves. And the Bible keeps urging us to not do that. Not just James, but throughout scriptures. Let's be hearers and doers, that God may bless what we do. Let's bow our heads before him. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your word. And particularly this passage as we come to the table. Because in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul warns the Christians not to come to this table because of certain things that they're doing, because otherwise they would eat and drink condemnation to themselves, judgment upon themselves. And then he tells us an astonishing thing. Because professing Christians did come to the table and did treat it inappropriately, some of them were dead. And quite a number of them were sick. For there are here and now disciplines, judgments on our here and now sins, that we might be what we're supposed to be. And so, Father, allow us to examine ourselves. Are we not just hearers, but doers also? However imperfectly, however inconsistently, it is our desire, and we sometimes actually do put into action what the Word has taught us. We don't forget that we're sinners, and we seek to put to death the old person, that the new creature might grow and be like Christ. Let us examine ourselves on those questions before we come to this table and proclaim that Christ was broken for us, that his blood was spilled for us, and we have been washed in it. Oh God, do not let us come to this table deceiving ourselves when we have not received Christ. Pray this of you in Christ's precious name. Amen. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance. It was ordained by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who gave it to us. Until his coming again, it is to be observed for a perpetual remembrance of the sacrifice of himself in his death. The physical elements representing the broken body and the shed blood of the Savior are received by true believers as signs and seals of all the benefits of his sacrifice upon the cross. They signify and seal remission of sins and nourishment and growth in Christ, and are a bond and pledge of communion, a bond and pledge of communion of believers with him and with each other as members of his mystical body. As signs and seals of the covenant of grace, they not only declare that God is faithful and true to fulfill the promises of the covenant, but they also summon us to all the duties of the children of God and call us to renewed consecration in gratitude for his salvation. It is my solemn duty to warn the uninstructed, the profane, the scandalous, and those who secretly and without repentance live in any sin not to approach the holy table, lest they partake unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body, and so eat and drink condemnation to themselves. Nevertheless, this warning is not intended to keep the humble and the repentant from the table of the Lord. This supper is not for those who are free from sin. On the contrary, we who are invited to the supper come as guilty and polluted sinners, and we come without hope of eternal life, apart from the grace of God in Christ. We confess our dependence for pardon and cleansing upon the perfect sacrifice of Christ. We base our hope of eternal life upon his perfect obedience and righteousness. And we humbly resolve to deny ourselves, to crucify our old natures, and to follow Christ. This is appropriate for those who bear his name. Let us therefore, in accordance with the admonition of the Apostle Paul, examine our minds and our hearts to determine whether we have this discernment, that we may come to partake of the table to the glory of God and to our own growth in grace in Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads before him. Father, we would ask that you would bless to us this bread, for it is the sign and seal of the body of your Son, which was broken on the cross for us. Bless it to us not merely as a small amount of nourishment, but bless it to us as we feed on Christ, as we grow from him. For our lives are in him, and our life is drawn from him and him alone. He has given us life through his death. And help us to see that, and therefore to feed not on merely a little piece of cracker, but to feed on Christ, in whose name we pray, amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Father, we come now to the cup. For with the scarlet blood of Christ, he has washed away the scarlet sins that we are stained with. He has made us white as snow, pure before you, because of his perfections, his righteousness, which is now ours, and his cleansing, which is ours. And so we thank you and ask that you would bless this cup, for it is the sign and seal of the blood of Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins, but his blood has removed all of our sins, so we can stand before you as your children. Let us therefore feed on Christ. Draw our nourishment from him, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Our Savior also took the cup, and having given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Drink ye all of it." Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for the blood of Christ that has cleansed us, made us whole. We thank you that your Son has made us his, and we live because he lives. We would pray of you that this is true of us, and that because it is true of us, that we are not merely hearers, but doers. That we have the reality of Christ, and not just a counterfeit, not just a forgery of our own making. And we pray that this would be evident to ourselves and evident to those around us. And we ask this of you in Christ's name. Amen.